You may remember last week we had the Education Minister Norma Foley with us about her plans to ban smartphone use in secondary schools throughout the country. As it happens, one of her government colleagues, another Fianna Fáil minister, the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, wants to go even further, and he wants to restrict or ban access to the internet and various sites to anyone under the age of 16. And let me warn you that some of what we're going to talk about is quite graphic, and indeed you mightn't want your children hearing about what some other children have seen online or have read about online. Minister Stephen Donnelly, thank you very much for taking the time to join us. Tell us about what you want to do.
Thanks for having me in, Matt. Well, essentially what I want to say to the social media companies and the Irish government wants to say to the social media companies is, your product is harming children. Your product right now is not safe, and you need to make it safe. And if you do make it safe, and we know they're more than capable of making it safe, but they've refused to do so far, if you make it safe for children, well, then obviously there's no issue with children accessing it. But if you continue to refuse to make your product safe, if you continue to ignore the huge harms being done to young people and children by your products, then obviously we would have no choice other than to say, well, then you have to restrict access.
Before you run through how it could be made safe, tell us about the harms that you believe have been done. And is this to the mental health of children and teenagers?
There's a huge amount of harm being caused. And there are more and more reports and evidence coming out all the time. And there were some big pieces of work earlier on this year. In terms of physical health and mental health, we know that there are harms including self-harm, suicide ideation, suicide, eating disorders, body dysmorphia, anxiety, sleep deprivation. And then as well as the physical and mental harms that are being caused, there are really serious societal harms being caused. So we're seeing links to violence against women, links to sexual violence, bullying, male supremacy, a lot of really dark, a lot of really sinister things. So right now, parents instinctively know we have a problem. And certainly any parents I talk to want to know more and more. And what we know is really disturbing. We know that there are children in Ireland today, there's children all over the world today who are thinking about killing themselves, who are starving themselves, who are cutting themselves with blades, who are not sleeping, who are being encouraged to kill themselves through cyberbullying. We know there are children who are now so anxious about school that they can't go back into school. We know that there are really disturbing things happening in terms of sexual health. So I'll just give you one quick example, if I may, from a teacher who's going to be on this expert group that I'm setting up. Choking became a thing. So this particular teacher sits down with 13, 14-year-olds, second year, third year, and goes through what they think is normal and what they're being normalized through social media platforms. Choking, he said to me, came up more and more. And he says to the girls, do you want to be choked? And they say, well, no, of course not. And he says to the boys, well, do you want to choke your girlfriend? And they say, no, of course we don't. But they're being brainwashed and manipulated into doing these things. And I met the same teacher in the last few weeks to ask him if he would join this expert group I'm setting up. And I recounted this to him, and I won't go into it on the air, but he said to me, Stephen, he said, I told you that some time ago. He said, it's got much worse. And he said, it would break your heart to hear what young teenagers in Ireland are being normalized to. And so, Matt, my view is a public health view. Catherine Martin has done great work. Norma Foley is doing great work. I'm taking a public health lens on this, and I'm saying from a public health perspective, the product that you have, the product that children have access to, is harming them, and we cannot stand over that. So either make your product safe, or we will have to take action to restrict access.
How would they make the product safe? And why haven't they done that if this has been obvious? And if you think about the Facebook whistleblower, Frances Hagan, for example, she unveiled a lot of this or uncovered a lot of this for us years ago.
I think the short answer, I mean, only they can answer that question. I'll give you my view. My view is they haven't made it safe because they haven't had to make it safe, presumably because they think it's linked to more revenue, more time online. That's what drives their revenue. We know, as you said, from Facebook testimony and Congress and others, that they are aware of a lot of this. Can they make it safe? Of course they can. You know, we've got a binding code coming in under a really groundbreaking Irish legislation that Catherine Martin led on. There's a binding code coming in, and one of the things in the binding code will be for pornography, right? So for content which is clearly for over 18s, the platforms will have to take steps around age verification. And what I'm saying is I fully support that, fully support what our online media commissioner is doing and her team is doing. They're a really impressive group. And I'm saying, well, the same logic applies to 11, 12, 13, 14, 15-year-olds in terms of all of the harms that we just listed.
We don't allow under 18s to drink. We don't allow them to smoke. Sometimes they do. They manage to find ways to do so, but we try to limit it. And we often insist on ID being used when people go to purchase alcohol or cigarettes to prove that they're at least 18. What about getting, even using PPS numbers, doing a deal with the social media companies to actually show that people have proven identity before they're allowed to open an account, which therefore would stop anyone under the age of 16 being able to do so?
You could do exactly that. For example, I, as a public figure, we're all processed through Facebook. They have my passport. You know, they do a different verification with them, with politicians. You could do exactly that. There's lots of different ways. What the Online Safety Commissioner has said to them is, we're not going to specify how you do the age verification.
Why not?
Say at 18. Because there's probably lots of innovative and sensible ways they can do it. So what they're saying is, you can decide how to do your age verification, but we are bringing it in and we will check. And if it isn't working, we are going to start fining you. Now, that's for the over 18. That's for the issues like access to adult content. There is no question in my mind but that they can bring in age verification. But what I'm saying is a step before that. What I'm saying is the first thing to do is to say to the platforms, make your content safe. Take the harmful content off. Take the content off that glamorizes self-harm, that glamorizes suicide, that glamorizes violence against women, male supremacy. Stop feeding that content.
But then what about the argument of the Elon Musks that freedom of speech, anything goes, because that's what a society requires?
But freedom of speech is an important thing, but this isn't freedom of speech. This is harming children and convincing them to cut their arms and their legs, convincing them to starve themselves, convincing young men to commit acts of violence or sexual violence against women. That's not freedom of speech. That's just hatred and toxicity. I think, Matt, one of the greatest cons that has been pulled off by the online platforms over years is to say, well, we're not publishers. We don't have to meet the same rules as Matt Cooper does, or the Irish Times does, or RTE does. This is none of our responsibility. But critically, the new European law, the Digital Service Act, is saying, sorry, we're not having that in Europe anymore. So if you, as a social media platform, if you are told that there is harmful content, if you don't take it down, now it is your responsibility.
But what about things like messages sent in WhatsApp groups? Because there is a difference between that and accessing websites or content that comes on feeds from social media platforms.
That's right. Where you might see the WhatsApp issue is around cyberbullying.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with some very, very tragic cases where WhatsApp was used, and where vulnerable children were encouraged on WhatsApp groups by God knows who to do awful things to themselves. Where we're seeing most of the evidence and most of the reports is social media. It's the feed. And you know, I sit down with parents. I'm a parent myself. I've got three kids myself. I sit down with the parents and say, look, are you aware that your 12-year-old is being exposed to all the following things? And in most cases, they don't. So what I'm doing is saying, look, as the Minister for Health, there's a few things we're doing now. I'm setting up an expert group to scope all of the harms and to come back with some very strong recommendations. But another thing I'm doing is I'm allocating €1 million per year now to public awareness, because parents and educators have a right to know. They'll always do right by their children, but they need the information, and then they need the tools.
But will government really take on these companies, given that many of them have their European headquarters in Ireland, are providing vast amounts of corporate tax revenues upon which you depend? Would you really put major fines in place on a regular basis for breaches?
That decision has already been made. Ireland's new Online Safety Act, which Catherine Martin led on, has huge fines. I mean, fines based on global revenue. So that decision has been made. And again, Matt, this isn't about being anti-tech. You know, I love technology. I'm an engineer by training. This is about child protection. And it's not about saying we don't want social media. There's great things going on social media. I use social media all the time. It's about saying it has to be safe for children and young people.
Well, then the money that you levy in fines, could that be put into mental health services for children? Because, for example, last year there was only a 75 million euro increase in the budget. The spending on mental health services in this country is 1.3 billion per annum, which is 5.6% of our health budget. The average in Europe is 10 to 12%, which would suggest we are way below where we need to be in mental health funding provision.
Certainly, we have to do more in terms of mental health. The waiting lists for the children with the most severe needs, the CAMHS services, the waiting list is falling, but it needs to fall faster. And the most urgent referrals, most of them are being seen within 3 days, but we have to go much further. So yes, we need to fund CAMHS more. We also need to bear in mind that...
Sorry, is it just an issue of funding, though? Because you have funded beds on a regular basis and you have the physical infrastructure there and you apply the budget, but you just don't have the people to actually provide the services for the children who go to the beds.
It's both. You need the funding, and most of the mental health services are outpatient services rather than inpatient services. So you do need the funding. You do need to fund the extra staff. You need to fully fund the CAMHS teams. You need to fund the community teams, because remember, the CAMHS service is only for 1 in 50 children who are referred in with a mental health query. The rest of it is lower level. It's counselling, it's psychology, it's group work, it's a lot of the community-based support. So we do need more. And to your point, do we need more staff? We do. So Simon Harris, when he was Minister in Higher Education, he and I agreed that we would over the coming years double the number of mental health college places for exactly this reason.
Okay, we will leave it there. Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, thank you very much for being with us.